Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, no one is an island. In other words, no one is separated and isolated from all other people. Instead, we are seen by others, we are heard by others, we are actually being read by other people. Think about what Paul wrote to the Christians in Corinth. He wrote, "You yourselves are our letter, known and read by all." So, like it or not, our lives do influence the lives of other people. Such influence, it can be good or it can be bad. It can be negative or it can be positive. It can be for Jesus Christ or it can be, in fact, against Jesus Christ. Therefore, today, because of this topic of influence, I'm hoping we can take a look at some biblical examples of influence. We can rejoice knowing that in Christ we are forgiven, and we can figure out some ways to be able to go forward in our lives in order to have a godly influence upon others. First of all, let's consider some biblical examples of influence. We know about the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And then in verses 5 and 6 of that chapter, Dr. Luther identified those two verses as the close of the commandments. So in a way, it's kind of summarizing the commandments to some degree. Part of that summary goes like this. The Lord said, "I am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." What I want you to see here is that there is a connection from one generation to another. But here's a logical question, though. If the Lord is punishing the children for the sin of the fathers, it kind of sounds like the wrong things that we have done, that our children will be punished for those things. Is that what the Bible is teaching? Kind of sounds that way right up front, but in fact, that's not what it's teaching. Consider Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. It says, "The son shall not suffer for the iniquity of the father, nor the father suffer for the iniquity of the son." So they each have their own sins. They will each suffer for their own sins. There's no crossover, the father for the son, nor the son for the father. But there is a way, though, that that statement is true, that the children will be punished for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. How is that true? It is true because of who we are, either believers in Jesus Christ or rejecters of Jesus Christ, because of who we are and because of how we show who we are in our daily lives, that is going to influence our children. So when we know Jesus Christ, we're saying to ourselves, "Hey, I have a lot of stuff. I have a car, I have a home, I have clothes, I have food, I have children. What is most important of all the stuff I have?" We don't have to think very long to realize our children are the most important thing God has given to us. So what do we want for them more than anything? We want them to know and continue in Jesus Christ. So there is a tendency that those who know Christ, they try to impress Christ upon their children, and by the grace of God, their children know Jesus Christ. Their children pass Jesus Christ onto their grandchildren and the great-grandchildren and so on. That is our desire. We so much want to go to heaven ourselves, and we want all of our family members to come to join us there one day too. But we also have this reality that those who do not believe in Jesus, they're not thinking about him, they don't care about him, they do nothing with the Word of God. So if that's how they are believing and functioning, what's going to happen with the kids? The kids aren't going to think anything about Jesus. They're not going to do anything with the Word of God. And that will probably pass on generation after generation. Of course, let's be honest and realize, though, that in America today, there are many God-fearing parents who do not have God-fearing children. A very sad situation. I think why that came about in part is because in the last number of decades, people in America said, we've got a better way than God's word. And there's been a practice within congregations for decades that have not been helpful to the children, and now we're bearing the fruit of that in America today. So being faithful in coming to church is not the way to get your children to heaven. But studies will show, though, that it's important to be faithful in coming to church, yes, in coming to Bible class and Sunday school, yes, and also spending time in family worship or devotion every other day of the week. All those things together tend to produce children who know Jesus Christ and continue in the Word of God and continue in Jesus Christ. And those who say, I'm going to do less and I hope it turns out okay, in a lot of cases, it's not turning out very well. So really what I'm talking about, though, is more the biblical model. I invite you to grab a pew Bible or your own Bible for a moment and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I could just share the passage with you real quick, but I think it will make more impact if we turn to it together. So if you're in a pew Bible, you can find it on page 284. So what we have here is Moses. Moses will soon die, so he's giving final instructions to the people of Israel before they end up crossing the Jordan River and entering into the promised land. So Moses, a very wise and godly man, is giving some very important information to the parents. So picking up in verse 6, he says to them, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. So for something to be upon our heart, that means it is very, very important to us. So Moses is saying to the people, make sure that the commandments are very important to you. Then what do you do with the commandments after that? He tells them, he said to them, impress them on your children. How do we do that? Moses made it clear. Talk about them, talking about the commandments, talk about them when you sit at home. So when you're sitting at home, the idea in the 21st century would be to turn off the television and all the other electronic stuff, so you have to turn it off in order to impress the Word of God upon your children. We have great challenges today in America because we have so many things competing with the Word of God. Talk about them, about the commandments, when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. So not much walking along the road nowadays, but when you're driving in the car, that means you have to turn off the video player, you have to turn off the radio, you have to take away all the electronic devices from the kids, and then you can finally get to talking about the Word of God. These are tough things. There are great challenges that are in the way of that happening, but God wants you to know that it is so important that you should take those kinds of steps. It also says to impress the commandments upon your children when you lie down. So at nighttime, read the Bible to them, pray with them, teach them how to pray. And also when you get up. So start your day with the Lord. It reminds me of that one, now I lay me down to sleep prayer, where it says, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray, dear Lord, my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray, dear Lord, my soul to take. But if I wake before I die, I pray, dear Lord, please show me why. So if you wake up tomorrow morning, if I wake up tomorrow morning, let us realize that the Almighty God has given us another day here on planet Earth. And he has a purpose for us tomorrow when we wake up. And he wants us to go to him in prayer, to be thankful for the day, to be thankful that the sun came up again, to be thankful that we have decent health, and to be able to say, Lord, here I am. What is your will for me today? Help me to know it and help me to get at it unto your glory. Those are important ways to live. And then it goes on to say, talking again about the commandments of God, Moses told the parents, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. A little more difficult to do those things here in the 21st century, but still it's possible. But especially in 9, though, this is a good one. And then he finally says about the commandments, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So think about your homes. And you have various doorways, whether it's to the bathroom, to the kitchen, to the bedroom, wherever it might be, you're passing through these doorways multiple times every day. What should you do? You should have something around that doorway area that is reminding you of an important thing from the Word of God. Is it possible, though, to put something up on the wall, and after a while you pass by it and you never even look at it? Sure. So what could you do then? You put an important thing on the wall, and then you gather your family in that area of the house, and you have a family devotion time on that particular thing on the wall. And maybe you have to repeat that every couple months, but it keeps being a reminder, though, for them. So every time they pass through that doorway, they're thinking about that devotion. They're thinking about that truth, and they are applying it in their own lives. Very important things, I believe. For those who practice such things, God will bless people now and forever. And for those who think they can somehow do far less and somehow it's going to turn out okay, it probably won't come true. So it's always better to know and follow the Word of God. Let's go on here to some more examples of biblical influence. I'm sorry that they're not necessarily examples of good influence, but we can see the reality of the influence, and then we can say, okay, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to be the opposite of that. Going to the death of Joshua, notice what it says there in Judges chapter 2. The people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. But there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. What happened there? Well, certain people, they knew the Lord, they knew what he had done, and the problem is they did not teach the next generation, they did not pass it on, and as soon as all those people died who knew the Lord and what he had done, the people were like, why are we even doing anything with the Bible? Why are we even going to church? Why are we even any of this? It doesn't make sense to us. It seems like foolishness. Let's get out there and be like the rest of the world. That's what happened. That's what's going to happen with anybody who is not taught in a proper way and does not have a practice developed within their own self that they can continue even after the godly influence is gone. What about the book of Judges? We see this pattern repeated in Judges over and over again. The people were unfaithful to the Lord, so what did the Lord do? He delivered them into the hands of their enemies, and then the people were sorry for what they had done. The Lord raised up a judge, and that judge defeated the enemies, and then the people continued to honor the Lord until the judge died, and as soon as that godly influence was gone, then they went right back to their old ways again. So what's important for us? God wants us to be that godly influence, and not just be the godly influence, but equip our children then to be that godly influence so they can then have that same influence on our grandchildren and right down the line. Even if we don't have children or grandchildren, we can still be a godly influence to anyone and everyone that we know. May God help us in such ways. Now we consider some of the kings. So King David, a great king in many ways, a man after God's own heart, and yet he fell into sin, and that sin had a very negative influence on his entire family. The Lord said to David, "The sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife." What about King Nadab? The Bible says that he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in his sin. So here his father is sinning in certain ways. So like father, like son, the son follows in the very same ways. That's the idea of this idea of to the third and fourth generation. King Baasha, the Bible says he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of Jeroboam. So he did have Jeroboam as a bad example. He followed that bad example. King Omri, the Bible says he did evil in the sight of the Lord and acted more wickedly than all who were before him. So he learned wickedness from others, and then he even developed that wickedness further. How sad. And then finally, King Ahaziah, he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother. So both of his parents were walking in the wrong way, and we shouldn't be surprised that here he is walking in the wrong way too. So think about what we're doing in our lives. How are we interacting at home? How are we going about our tasks? Are we complaining? How are we dealing with the Word of God? How are we thinking about being faithful in gathering to receive God's blessings? How are we praying for others who are in need? How are we forgiving those who sin against us? These are all things that our children and others are picking up on, whether we know it or not. So we are influencing them in all those ways, whether we know it or not. So certainly we want to be a good influence, so we need to start with ourselves first. We need to look in the mirror and say, how am I being a bad influence in certain ways? God's calling us to repent. Then he's calling us to be open in living and speaking for Jesus Christ so that we might have a positive influence upon others. What about all the times, though, where we've fallen into sin? God wants us to know that we are not better than other people. We're all in a bad situation. The Bible says, none is righteous of himself. No, not one. The Bible says, all have turned aside, meaning we have turned aside from following God's ways. We have turned aside to following our own ways. The Bible says that no one does good, not even one. So we might say, oh, okay, God, I know I've messed up here, so if I really get going, I can fix it. That's impossible too. The Bible says, by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in God's sight. So never by what we do can anything be fixed. What is the answer? God has provided it in his Son, Jesus Christ. Think about it like this. I want you to think about the terrible condition we were in when God saved us. So we were spiritually dead. It's hard to picture spiritual deadness. So think about a person who died and you can see that person dead. That's how we were spiritually. Think about someone being helpless, like someone, for example, who was an inmate on death row, and the day of execution is coming, they're behind bars, and there is no escape. That's how we were spiritually. Or think about being an enemy. Think about being like the Apostle Paul, for example. Here he is fighting against Jesus Christ, rounding up all the people who were following Christ in order to put them in prison, in order to punish them, even in order to kill them. That is a pretty sad situation, but it is when people were exactly like that, that is when God took action, that is when God intervened to make us alive in Christ, to rescue us from a dungeon of despair, and to transform us from being his enemies to being his friends. So we can never take any credit. Our situation was the worst. And right then and there, that is when God stepped in. That is when God took action. That is when God made us brand new in Jesus Christ. He wants us to know how wonderful that is. He wants us to rejoice in what he has done. So for all the things in the past, maybe we've influenced people in the wrong way. For all the bad stuff in the past, what is God saying to us? It is forgiven. It is forgotten. It is over with. Now, what about the present and the future? We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the blessings we need to be able to go forward in a wonderful, God-pleasing, God-influencing way. May God help us in such things. Finally, at the end here, because we do all influence others, sometimes for bad, sometimes for good, may God help us to repent. May he help us to change. May he help us to be determined to go forward to honor him and to influence others in a wonderful way. What are some ways that we can do that? Let me give you just a few. First of all, we can faithfully gather here each week. If we believe it's important to receive word and sacrament for our spiritual lives, then we should show that we do believe that is important by gathering week after week, because other people will see that too, and they'll be like, oh, you're one of those people that go to church every week. And then you have an opportunity to say why you do, and that can be a positive influence upon someone else. Maybe you can even invite them to come and say, hey, why don't you come and join me too, so that you can receive those blessings. How many of you as kids had the habit of sleeping in on a pretty regular basis if you could? Okay. How many of you went to school on December 25th? Anybody? No. How many of you slept in on December 25th? How many of you were anxious to get up on December 25th? Okay, that's what I'm looking for. So why is that? Because there were some kind of cheap gifts or trinkets under the tree. That's what got you up. Well, I want you to think about how every week God is providing the gifts of word and sacrament. And he wants us to know that these are valuable for now and forever. He wants us to get up excited. He wants us to come. He wants us to receive. He wants us to rejoice. He wants us to know how blessed we are. Another way to have a godly influence is to faithfully worship at home each day. I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but for families who do less, studies are showing that it's just not enough for kids to be faithful in coming to church each week or coming to Bible class each week. There's too much of a disconnect from Sunday to Sunday. And if there's not something serious going on during the week, what happens is they get off on their own, whether it's in college, moving out on their own, whatever it might be. And it's very easy to miss worship on Sunday. And when you miss the first time, it's even easier to miss the second time and the third time. And if they have no regular routine of opening the Bible every day, they're going to very quickly slip away from the things of God. So I just want to strongly encourage everyone to consider having something at home. It can be very brief. It can be very flexible. You can read a little bit in the Bible. You can pray a little bit. Maybe do a little bit of singing. But those are all things that will be a wonderful blessing for all who participate. And the idea is to make a habit of it. So then it carries on throughout life. It passes on to the next generation. Finally, a couple things from the Bible here. All kinds of Bible passages we could think about. But in 1 John 2, it tells us to walk as Jesus walked. In other words, when we're thinking about how should I proceed in this situation, we can say, what would Jesus do? The Bible tells us to speak the truth in love. So it's easier to be silent, but it is important to interact with others. It's important to speak the truth, and it's important to speak it in a very loving, kind, compassionate way. And finally, the Bible says that we are to do all to the glory of God. What does that mean? Think about the opposite there in Romans 3. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What does that mean that we fall short of the glory of God? The glory of God is that we would do his will, that we would live a sinless life. We've all fallen short of that. But now, forgiven in Christ, powered by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Word of God, now we have the equipment that we need in order to go forward to do all to the glory of God. Are we going to do that every moment of every day? We're not. So what is the good news? Every time we fall, we have the precious blood of Jesus to wash us clean and to assure us that in Christ we are forgiven. Let us pray. Father in heaven, even though we have all done much wrong, you have made us right in your sight. You took action, you did it, and we give you thanks. Now, we pray that you would fill us with great joy and help us to go forward to influence other people in the very best ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule. Service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m.
For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.